Today is the 28th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is a joy to be around the global campfire another day as we take another step forward on our journey through the scriptures. Right now, we're navigating our way through 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament and Paul's letter to the Romans in the New. And we'll obviously continue that journey until we reach new territory. But for now, that's where we are. And so let's dive in. Today, 2 Chronicles chapters 21, 22, and 23. Then Jehoshaphat rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, succeeded him as king. Jehoram's brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, were Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azarahu, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father had given them many gifts of silver and gold and articles of value, as well as fortified cities in Judah. But he had given the kingdom to Jehoram because he was his firstborn son. When Jehoram established himself firmly over his father's kingdom, he put all his brothers to the sword, along with some of the officials of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done, for he married a daughter of Ahab. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, because of the covenants the Lord had made with David, the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David. He had promised to maintain a lamp for him and his descendants forever. In the time of Jehoram, Edom rebelled against Judah and set up its own king. So Jehoram went there with his officers and all his chariots. The Edomites surrounded him and his chariot commanders, but he rose up and broke through by night. To this day, Edom has been in rebellion against Judah. Libnah revolted at the same time, because Jehoram had forsaken the Lord, the God of his ancestors. He had also built high places on the hills of Judah, and had caused the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves, and had led Judah astray. Jehoram received a letter from Elijah the prophet, which said, "This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. You have not followed the ways of your father Jehoshaphat or of Asa, king of Judah, but you have followed the ways of the kings of Israel, and you have led Judah and the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves, just as the house of Ahab did. You have also murdered your own brothers, members of your own family, men who were better than you. So now, the Lord is about to strike your people, your sons, your wives, and everything that is yours with a heavy blow. You yourself will be very ill with a lingering disease of the bowels until the disease causes your bowels to come out." The Lord aroused against Jehoram the hostility of the Philistines and of the Arabs who lived near the Cushites. They attacked Judah, invaded it, and carried off all the goods found in the king's palace, together with his sons and wives. Not a son was left to him except Ahaziah, the youngest. After all this, the Lord afflicted Jehoram with an incurable disease of the bowels. In the course of time, at the end of the second year, his bowels came out because of the disease, and he died in great pain. His people made no funeral fire in his honor, as they had for his predecessors. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He passed away to no one's regret and was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. The people of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, Jehoram's youngest son, king in his place, since the raiders who came with the Arabs into the camp had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign, Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, a granddaughter of Omri. He too followed the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him to act wickedly. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done, for after his father's death, they became his advisors to his undoing. He also followed their counsel when he went with Joram, son of Ahab, king of Israel, to wage war against Hazael, king of Aram, at Ramoth-Gilead. The Arameans wounded Joram, so he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds they had inflicted on him at Ramoth in his battle with Hazael, king of Aram. Then Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to Jezreel to see Joram, son of Ahab, because he had been wounded. Through Ahaziah's visit to Joram, God brought about Ahaziah's downfall. When Ahaziah arrived, he went out with Joram to meet Jehu, son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to destroy the house of Ahab. While Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, he found the officials of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's relatives, who had been attending Ahaziah, and he killed them. He then went in search of Ahaziah, and his men captured him while he was hiding in Samaria. He was brought to Jehu and put to death. They buried him, for they said, "He was a son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart." So there was no one in the house of Ahaziah powerful enough to retain the kingdom. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family of the house of Judah. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Because Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, and wife of the priest Jehoiada, was Ahaziah's sister, she hid the child from Athaliah so she could not kill him. He remained hidden with them at the temple of God for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land. In the seventh year, Jehoiada showed his strength. He made a covenant with the commanders of units of 100. Azariah, son of Jeroham, Ishmael, son of Jehohanan, Azariah, son of Obed, Maaseiah, son of Adiah, and Elishaphat, son of Zikri. They went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites and the heads of Israelite families from all the towns. When they came to Jerusalem, the whole assembly made a covenant with the king at the temple of God. Jehoiada said to them, "The king's son shall reign, as the Lord promised concerning the descendants of David. Now this is what you are to do. A third of you priests and Levites who are going on duty on the Sabbath are to keep watch at the doors. A third of you at the royal palace and a third at the foundation gate. And all the others are to be in the courtyards of the temple of the Lord. No one is to enter the temple of the Lord except the priests and Levites on duty. They may enter because they are consecrated, but all the others are to observe the Lord's command not to enter. The Levites are to station themselves around the king, each with weapon in hand. Anyone who enters the temple is to be put to death. Stay close to the king wherever he goes." The Levites and all the men of Judah did just as Jehoiada the priest ordered. Each one took his men, those who were going on duty on the Sabbath and those who were going off duty, for Jehoiada the priest had not released any of the divisions. Then he gave the commanders of units of 100 the spears and the large and small shields that had belonged to King David and that were in the temple of God. He stationed all the men, each with his weapon in his hand, around the king, near the altar and the temple, from the south side to the north side of the temple. Jehoiada and his sons brought out the king's son and put the crown on him. They presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him and shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and cheering the king, she went to them at the temple of the Lord. She looked, and there was the king, standing by his pillar at the entrance. The officers and the trumpeters were beside the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, and musicians with their instruments were leading the praises. Then Atalia tore her robes and shouted, "Treason! Treason!" Jehoiada the priest sent out the commanders of units of 100 who were in charge of the troops and said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks and put to the sword anyone who follows her." For the priest had said, "Do not put her to death at the temple of the Lord." So they seized her as she reached the entrance of the horse gate on the palace grounds, and there they put her to death. Jehoiada then made a covenant that he, the people, and the king would be the Lord's people. All the people went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They smashed the altars and idols and killed Mattan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Then Jehoiada placed the oversight of the temple of the Lord in the hands of the Levitical priests, to whom David had made assignments in the temple, to present the burnt offerings of the Lord as written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing, as David had ordered. He also stationed gatekeepers at the gates of the Lord's temple so that no one who was in any way unclean might enter. He took with him the commanders of hundreds, the nobles, the rulers of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king down from the temple of the Lord. They went into the palace through the upper gate and seated the king on the royal throne. All the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was calm, because Atalia had been slain with the sword. Romans 11, 13 through 36. I am talking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this: you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, "Branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in." Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening, in part, until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, "The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins, As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Psalm 22, 1 through 18. For the director of music, to the tune of The Dough of the Morning, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Proverbs 20:7. The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. Okay, listen to these words that we read from our reading in the Psalms today. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Those aren't particularly comforting words, but I find comfort in them because I've had experiences in my life that felt like that, and we're reading it out of the Bible, and it's comforting to know I'm, or we're, not the only one who has felt that way. This psalm was written by David, a king, the king of Israel. Even kings have this experience. Words from this psalm were spoken by Jesus hanging from a cross. So if those words resonate in any sort of way, and you've had a similar experience, you're not alone. What that feels like is captured and memorialized in the Bible. So from the Bible, we learn a lot about David and his life. And so we know he was a musician, very skilled. He was a poet. And so he often turned to music as a way to get it out, to express, to release what's going on inside. But Psalm 22 isn't a particularly happy song. It simply captures the raw expression from David of what was happening inside of himself, in his mind, in his heart. A lot of the time we try to sidestep those things for lots of reasons. We don't want to be honest and tell the truth about what's happening inside of us because we don't want to seem sacrilegious. Or we stuff things down inside and try to cover them over with other things. We'll turn to like comfort food to bring comfort, or binge watching television, just anything that we think will bring comfort and distraction from what's really happening inside. And let's just remember, David's the king. He has no shortage of things to distract him, and he has the best distractions that are available. David turned to music to articulate and name his feelings, what was going on. And that's powerful, because when we can name it, when we can say what it is, then we can see it, because it's in the light. It's not this nebulous, this anxiety that's just in there. And when our habit is just distraction, then what's going on inside just continues to build up and accumulate until there's so much going on that we can't even unravel it anymore. It's just unnamed anxiety that lives in our guts, twisting us into a ball, which just leads us into more confusion rather than bringing clarity. So maybe we try what's being modeled by David. Maybe we write it down. Write down what's heavy inside of us right now. Maybe if we play music, we do it to music. Name what's going on for what it is, and be as honest as what we read in the Bible from the Psalms. We don't have to be afraid of honesty. David wasn't. God isn't. It's in the Bible. David says, "You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help." That's pretty raw. That's pretty honest. And that is most certainly a quotation from the Bible. So if this is a difficult season, and it feels like it's gonna get worse before it gets better, be honest about that. Write it down. Name it. Name what's happening. Say what it feels like. See it for what it is in the presence of God. Bring it before God. What we're reading that is so raw from the Psalms today is spoken to God. Honesty is honesty, and honesty is more true than distraction. Distractions don't fix things. They kick the can down the road so that more things can accumulate and the problem's worse. So if we're feeling overwhelmed, and trust me, I know what that feels like. If we're feeling helpless, I know what that feels like. if we're feeling hopeless, whatever it is that we are walking through, face it, name it, bring it to God, turn it into worship. That's what we're watching the psalmist David do. Worship is certainly a joyous and happy thing, but it is also for the lowest of the low, times when we can't even make a sentence make sense. God will understand that sentence, and we will find God in our honesty, and we may find profound relief in getting it out and giving it to the only one who can help. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have invited us into a life that is true. We've watched this in the Gospels. We've seen it modeled in the life of Jesus. We are invited to be who we were created to be. And at times, things get twisted inside of us, and we do all kinds of things to not deal with them. And what we're seeing in the Psalms today is that we can be honest with what's going on. And that, in and of itself, is a comfort, that we can be honest about where we are, knowing that this is not the end of the story. This is just where we are at the moment. And we name it, and we confess it, and we bring it to you, and we ask for your help, knowing that you will help, that you will not leave us or forsake us. And so come, Holy Spirit, into the struggles of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That's the website. That's where you can find out what's going on around here. And you can put that in the palm of your hand and a lot more by downloading the Daily Audio Bible app. It's free, and you can download it from the app store that works with your device. So check that out. Check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where the prayer wall lives. This is where different links to get connected on social media are. So check that out. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if bringing the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody, anywhere, anytime is meaningful and life-giving, and if building community around this rhythm of showing up every day is meaningful, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, beautiful family. This is Prisoner of Hope. I am just driving into work, and on my commute, I decided to call in for a couple of people. Cece from North Carolina, you called in to give praise for your husband coming to the Lord after 6 years, and that is a long time. You said it was a long time. It is long. It is. I'm glad it wasn't any longer, and I thank you, Lord, that you've saved her husband, that you've called him into an eternal relationship with you, that he would be blessed by you, and I pray for those in our community who don't have saved spouses, such as myself, and we've been praying for many, many years ourselves, and I pray that you would call them as well, draw them and enable them to come to know you, Lord. Please don't make us wait any longer, Lord, but would you please call our spouses into an eternal relationship with you, that they would decide to follow Jesus all the days of their life. Carpe Diem driver, I am just so blessed by you. You're always calling in and saying you want to have the Lord help you so that you can bless others and glorify him. You are already doing that. You are already glorifying God, and you are already blessing this community. So while you can ask that God continues to do that, I mean, he's already doing it, and I hope you recognize that. I hope that you realize there's nothing that you need from him to glorify him in the way that you do. But with that said, I still lift you up, Carpen Diem driver. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that you would please deliver him from the obstacles in his life, for things that just keep being thrown at him, Lord. He feels like he is up against the world. But Lord, we know that you are for us. Your word says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? We ask for you to do that in Carpen Diem driver's lives and on our lives. In the precious name of Jesus and powerful name of Jesus, amen.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, words can never express our deep gratitude that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are so undeserving of your grace and mercy, not just for salvation, but every day. Father, we ask that you soften our hearts to think more of others than we do of ourselves. Help us to put into order our priorities in life. You see every joy and difficulty, and you love us through it all. Give us the grace today not to store up things for ourselves where moth and decay can destroy or thieves break in and steal, but rather treasures in heaven where neither moth nor decay destroys or thieves break in and steal. Allow us the grace today to desire our relationship with you above all earthly things. By your grace, we ask that you help us to be strong and courageous in the face of adversity. Strengthen us, Father, to love all people with the love that we have received from you. May your love be our strength and your peace fill our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love you all dearly. Have a good night.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. I hope you're all having a God-blessed day, night, whenever you're all listening to this. And so I want to give an update to the situation that I called in to the Daily Audio Bible family here about, which got left on June 18th, which was Father's Day, where I talked about how my mom had sustained a business for almost 20 years, but unfortunately had passed away from stage 4 brain cancer, and how my cousin had taken up on the business that my mom had started, and how my grandma had passed away recently, and then how my cousin had ended up in the hospital, and how our family is struggling with finances, and how my dad's in Kansas and won't be able to help out much. And so, good things. My cousin's been out of the hospital for a couple of weeks now. She got out either ever since July 3rd or July 4th. So hallelujah to that. If y'all could please keep praying for our financial situation. We were thankfully able to make it through this month by the grace of God. And so, please keep praying for us. And so, thankfully, you know, we're still going through some trials and tribulations. But again, God always gets us through the trials and tribulations. This really reminds me about, you know, like Jesus, you know, when he slept on the boat, you know, in the middle of a storm, and how, you know, the disciples were panicking, and, you know, Jesus rebuked the winds, and, you know, it's just, you know, God's gonna help get us through. If y'all could please pray for us with the financial situation, that God would provide us with the exact finances that we need to just simply get on by, that would certainly greatly be appreciated. God bless y'all. Thank you all so much, and please stay encouraged. And please pray for me to stay encouraged as well. God bless y'all. Peace.
Today is July 25th. Why does it sound special? Oh, it's Ezekiel's 11th birthday. Happy birthday, Ezekiel. You are wonderful. I listen to you, even though I'm not a little kid. I'm a grown-up kid. I so love listening to you. You speak so clearly. You have inflection in your voice. And you bring the Word of God to all of us. And I thank you for that. And I can't say happy birthday enough. I love you. Happy birthday, Ezekiel. Happy birthday, Zeke. And bye. It's Jersey Jane for Jesus. God bless. God bless everyone in the DAB community.